On February 3rd each year, we celebrate the feast of one of the early martyrs, a bishop, St. Blaise. And as you know, we bless throats in his honor on that feast day, taking the two candles, touching the throat with them, and the priest says, through the intercession of St. Blaise, bishop and martyr, may God deliver you from evils of the throat and from every other evil. And the church permits that blessing to be given also on the Sunday following the feast for the benefit of those who could not receive it on his feast day. So today we will do that, and since we haven't started the season of pre-Lent to get ready for Lent, we're still in the extra Sundays after Epiphany, I thought it would be good today for the sermon to speak on the various kinds of blessings of candles that the church has, why we do that, and what the significance of them is, so we can appreciate these things. And the first question is, why does the church even use all these outward things, ceremonies and blessing of candles and blessing of rosaries and medals and many kinds of blessings and ceremonies? We know there are some non-Catholics who strongly object to this, and they say, oh, that's a bunch of superstition, you Catholics. They think we should do without all the beautiful things in church and statues and ceremonies. And yet, even in those religions, in their churches, generally they at least have a cross somewhere, a bare cross somewhere. So they really don't just preach the gospel in a bare whitewashed church with no symbolism whatsoever. But when they say this, they don't realize they're rejecting what God himself has established. All through the Old Testament and the New Testament, God uses symbols and created things. And why? Because that's the way he made us, that we learn through our senses. We are very much affected by what comes to us through our senses. For example, every teacher knows that the best way to teach is to show the students. To teach a little child what an orange is, what better way than to give them an orange and show them the orange? No teacher, no parent would say, oh, I think it would be a lot better if I just tried in words to explain it to the child. When you're teaching something, you try to use analogies. You use things that someone has already seen, they're already familiar with. And you say, it's like this, and then they understand. God made us so that nothing is in our mind unless it has come through the senses. And so we are very much dependent on the visible things, the material things around us, what we see, what we hear, what we feel. And the devil knows that, and the church knows that. And so the devil tries to use created things to make us sin, lead us to sin. As he did with Adam and Eve. He made Eve look at the fruit and see that it was good. And then she disobeyed and ate it. And how many sins today does the devil not cause to commit by the things that we see and hear around us? And the church, then, does the opposite. She uses the created things around us, and by blessing them and asking God to confer favors on those who use them, she uses them to lead us to God instead of away from God, as the devil does. And in this way, the church counters that work of the devil. And this is what our Lord himself did when he cured, worked miracles. What did he do? He used material things and actions. He could have cured simply by willing it, a simple thought. And yet he didn't. When he blessed the children, he blessed them, placed his hand on them to bless them. When he cured, he used various ceremonies. When the one woman came up to our Lord, and she said to herself, not aloud, just thinking in her mind, if I touch just the hem of his garment, I'll be cured. Our Lord didn't rebuke her and say, you are guilty of superstition, thinking that you could be cured by touching my garment. No, he praised her faith. And so our Lord does not offend, he is not offended by all these material things that the church uses and blesses. He is pleased with it. That is his will. And we don't believe that the things themselves have any power. But it's when the church blesses them with her prayer, they have the power of the prayer of the church. So, for example, if you were to give a rosary to someone, and then you were to, from time to time, you were to pray to God and say, ask God to give, to help that person that you gave the rosary to. Well, that would have some value to it, wouldn't it? God would answer your prayer. It's not that the rosary had, as a material thing, any ability to help them, but your prayers for that person to whom you gave the rosary would have value. But how much more value then if it was not your private prayers, but the prayers of the church? And that's exactly what a blessing is. When you bring a rosary or medal or anything up to the communion rail to be blessed, the priest, as the representative of Christ, says a prayer in the name of the church, asking God to give some favor to you, to those who use that thing. And that's why the sacramentals have such a value to them. Nobody, no Catholic believes that a medal or a rosary has some magical power in itself. It's somewhat like when you write a check. If you owed someone $100, you wrote a $100 check and you signed it and you gave them the check, they're not going to be offended at you and say, well, this is a worthless piece of paper. This doesn't pay my debt. Now, the paper isn't worth it, but your signature means something. It will pay their debt because there's an authorized signature on it. And when the church blesses things, it's like that signature. The priest is authorized to ask God to bless you when you use that thing. Now, candles. There's different kinds of blessed candles and different meanings to the candle. First of all, a candle is a symbol of our Lord. When we blessed candles on the Feast of the Purification, this is why. It's because it's a symbol of Jesus Christ, his human and divine nature. The blessing speaks of and also the Paschal candle, the blessing speaks of the bees that make the wax, because the virgin bees make the sweet-smelling wax of a candle, a beeswax candle. And the Virgin Mary, it was her virginal body which produced the body of our Lord. The wick of the candle symbolizes the soul of our Lord that is united to his body, the wax. And the flame of the lit candle is a symbol of the divinity of our Lord, which through the hypostatic union that Christ has the two natures, man and God. And so we read for the words of Simeon to Christ, he is the light to the revelation of the Gentiles. The candle symbolizes Christ, the light of the world. But there's another meaning to the candle. When you are baptized, you receive a candle, or the godparents receive it for a baby. And the priest says, receive this burning candle. And he mentions keeping it lit. He says that may you keep it lit so when you meet the bridegroom who comes. That's a reference to the parable our Lord gave of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Five of them kept enough oil in their lamp so that it was still lit when the bridegroom, when Christ, came back. But five foolish didn't, and their lamps went out. And so that symbol you receive in baptism is a symbol of that light of faith and the flame of charity. Two virtues you receive in baptism, and it's a prayer the priest says that may you keep that flame lit till your judgment day and not be like one who lets it go out through sin. And you take, hopefully, that same candle when you go to receive First Communion and bring that flame of faith and charity in your soul still lit to your First Communion by a careful avoidance of sin. And that candle also symbolizes the love you have to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. And someday when you're dying, perhaps you have the same candle, or if not, a different candle lit on your deathbed when you are going to meet our Lord. There is a special blessing, one of a few different ones for candles. There's one for those who are members of the Rosary Confraternity, that a candle may be blessed for them, which there's a plenary indulgence if they hold the candle lit while they pray one rosary on their deathbed. There's also the ordinary blessing of candles, which if you were to bring them at any time of the year to be blessed, it's one short little prayer, and it makes mention of how a candle dispels the darkness by its light. And it's a prayer that asks that wherever this blessed candle is lit, the darkness of sin and the devil may be dispelled. There's another blessing that most are not aware of, unfortunately, a special blessing for candles in honor of Saint Raymond Nonnatus, for a safe delivery of a child. Saint Raymond is called Nonnatus, which is Latin for not born, because he was born by a C-section, as his mother had died in labor, and so he was taken out by C-section. So he's always been the patron of expectant mothers for a safe delivery. And the church gives a special blessing for candles that, in his honor, and under the title of the blessing, it says they are to be lit during the time of delivery to ask for safe delivery through his prayers. And this is what that prayer, a blessing that candle, says. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, light of life everlasting, who didst give us candles for use in dispelling the gloom, at our humble bidding, may it please thee to bless these candles through the merits of Blessed Raymond, thy confessor. By the power of the Holy Cross, bestow a heavenly blessing on them. Empowered with the seal of thy Holy Cross, let the spirits of darkness depart, trembling, and fly in fear from all places where their light shines. And lastly, we have the blessing of the candles in honor of Saint Blaise. And that blessing says, when the candles are blessed, deign to bless and sanctify and bestow thy grace on these candles. Let all Christians of good faith whose necks are touched with them be healed of every malady of the throat, and being restored in health and cheer, let them return thanks to thy holy church and give praise to thy wondrous name, which is blessed forever. We bless throats and the feast of Saint Blaise because as he was going to martyrdom, a mother brought her son to him. He was dying, choking from a fishbone in his throat, and Saint Blaise healed him of it. And ever since then, we have prayed to Saint Blaise for protection from illnesses of the throat. One year, I said to the priest who had blessed my throat, I said, I think you said the wrong words, because I immediately got sick with a cold after the blessing. I think you said them backwards. But no, we pray to St. Blaise to deliver us from evils of the throat and from every other evil. Sometimes God permits us, of course, in spite of our prayers, to get sick, to suffer different things. It's for our good. But many other times, through the prayers of the saints, when God knows it's for our good, he delivers us from those evils. So today you receive that blessing of throats in honor of St. Blaise, and hopefully you have a better idea of the meaning of the different blessed candles. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.